You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you fine people in the 24 time zones. Welcome to the rambunctious and righteous and judgy Real Short Box. Let me introduce to you real quick my co-hosts and co-conspirators. First, he is a man from Ohio. He's a man who is Bruce Campbell's number two fan. He is DC Comics for life, and if you have a problem with it, he will just pop you nicely in the mouth. Give it up for the devastating Donald.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? What's crack-a-lackin'? I don't know. I need a new catchphrase.
Well, I mean, you pop in people's mouths, so...
What? If you insult DC Comics, you pop people in the mouth, you know?
I thought he was talking about last Tuesday.
That's not
you and Kevin.
That's a whole other story, everybody.
That's the reason why.
That'll be in my autobiography. It was a time of turmoil. Okay.
And next, we have a man who's a man's man. A man who can be ruthless if you cross his path. But at the same time, he could be a very radiant man, a very rich man, but he's just a regular guy. He is Raphael. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Dude, how many times are you going to say man?
I was going to say.
Well, Jesus, you're a man, are you not?
Yeah.
I mean,
it makes me question whether he thinks you're a man.
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 Hey, man. He's a man, man.
A man's man. And of course, last but not least, he is a man of the cloth.
Well, second to last.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
You always say that, and you're last. Fine. You make yourself last. You're not last.
That's true. But I make myself.
You're number two in my book.
Kevin. Oh, you're nice. You humble myself.
Yeah.
But yes, we have a man who's a man of the cloth. He is a saintly man, a sacred man, a sacrosanct man. He lives a sanctified life. He is simply known as the Sensational One. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Go with peace, my brother.
Amen, amen. Look at that. Look at this man. He's just feeling good tonight, feeling holy and spiritual. And of course, you know me. I am the Grand Master of the Jedi and Vulcan Arts, your Supreme Chancellor, Brother Kevin.
If I had that triangle ding, I'd put that in for you.
Oh, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
I think that's an investment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is on the live show. We should have I do have a noisemaker at home. I should bring that in.
Just bring it in.
Yeah.
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 It's a
4-month-old baby, but you know.
Whoa.
You squeeze the baby.
Don't do that to the baby.
Like a weird fart noise.
No, we cannot use infants for
the show. If you drop the baby, he makes a little crying noise.
No.
That's great.
That's a bad idea. Bad idea.
Kick the baby.
We at the Real Short Box and Rumble Pop, we love children and we want them to be taken
care of. It's not worse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Here we love little children.
I didn't say that part.
That's not going
to
work.
But I have to counteract the nonsense that's coming out of this man's mouth.
Oh, Kevin, he's just teaching went man worse.
Oh, jeez.
I do not condone this gentleman's actions.
Look,
no.
You see into it what you want to see into it.
Nope, I, Donald, do not condone this gentleman's actions also.
Now I understand why there's always two with Kevin.
Good Lord.
We have to watch him.
Well, today we bring to you the roasty, but... and a toasty.
That's right. We're going to go through the top 10 from a certain app, very popular app, and give our humble opinions.
App, McAfee app.
Now, I want to explain this to you guys, okay? Hmm. There's been a lot of talk about top 10 lists being bad or don't go into the FOMO. What we're doing here is we're looking at the top 10 list provided to us by Key Collector. We're not sponsored by them at all. But we're here just to tell you what we believe. Right. Well, we tell you how we feel about what this list represents. If at any time the Real Short Box tells you what we believe is a top 10, we're telling you what the top 10 is to us and not to anyone other than the table right here. So we're going to go ahead and start. And Mr. McKinney.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go with number 10 on the list. One Mr. Boston Brand really brings the heat in the Strange Adventures series. If I recall, it was Strange Adventures.
Yes, sir. Strange Adventures number 205.
And that was the Boston Brand, first Dead Man. And it's a, funny enough, it's Neil Adams' art.
Yes, sir.
No, not that issue. It's Carmine Infantino.
Oh yeah, Carmine Infantino, but I mean like later. What it's popular for.
He revived it. He revived it, right?
Yeah, he revived it.
1967.
He wrote it too. That's a strange part.
And it ended up being very good too. That's the other strange part, that people really liked it. But the origin
and then
of Boston
read,
Brand.
Batman Odyssey and like what happened?
Wow, that was later in the years.
Neil Adams, dead, by the way. Now, when we're talking about Dead Man Dead, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
God rest his soul.
So that'd be pretty funny if Boston Brand took jumped into Neil Adams.
Wouldn't that be something?
Did you read the back page of the little salute that DC did to him for him?
No.
It basically had Dead Man in there, and he was in a line with all the other superheroes to get like his autograph, which is what he would have loved. Let's be realistic.
Of course,
here.
Of course.
You know, Neil loved Neil, and that's great. Neil, he's a super cool guy.
So you're saying
Neil
would have rather Neil would have stood in line to get his own autograph? What you're saying?
Yeah, he probably. Yeah.
He would have his kids.
I'm surprised he didn't come up with that idea first them drawing all the superheroes
in line.
When
his kids came home with a bad grade and he had to sign the paper, he had him stand in line for his autograph.
yeah. But this is an exceptional story. Basically, that a man with a hook kills him mid trapeze.
He's fugitive like.
He does, yeah. And he does a costume. He calls himself Dead Man. That's like his shtick at the circus. And he even wears this Dead Man outfit, the red outfit that we're used to. And he colored in his face white. Like he white faced himself, made himself very pale, very dead. And just basically that was his shtick. And he was killed looking like that. So when he came back to life, that is exactly what he looked like as a spirit. He was revived by a Hindu god named Rama Krishna, which I thought
was
kind
Hare
of...
Did you say Hare Krishna?
Not Rama Tut.
No, not Rama Tut either. But it was a really cool concept because, you know, she was kind of like Gaia, you know, the mother of all, in bringing him back and telling him that he had to go into the bodies of people, kind of like Quantum Leap, to right the wrongs, you know, to change history and change, you know, the way people... were reacting and what they were doing and stuff like that. So, all the while searching for this guy with a hook. So it was, yeah, you're right. You know, it was very, very much.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. It was a nice mix of that. It was a great story. Fantastic art. You're right. Carmine Infantino did a great job on that run. Neil Adams picked it up and blew it out of the water then at that point. But it's fantastic. It's DC. He's a great character. He was in Justice League Dark.
Oh, yes.
I highly recommend
very good.
If they are going to do a Justice League Dark series, that they
include
Dead Man.
He must
There's
be included.
So much they could do with that, especially with CGI. It'd be perfect.
Well, but they're saying that
relief too.
Well, they're saying most likely he would come in to the Swamp Thing project.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah, that's
probably how they're going to start building
or
Justice League Dark.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. That's what they're basically saying is that James Gunn is going to introduce multiple horror elements into the Swamp Thing project, and that's
Jimmy
where you would get Dead Man.
That would make sense. It would make sense to have Dead Man, maybe even Blue Devil or Constantine.
The demon.
What I know he's going to want to lean towards, what I absolutely know he's going to want to lean towards.
Itrigan.
No. Detective Chimp.
Yes. Yeah.
No, he's going to want to lean towards.
Along with Itrigan.
Itrigan?
Yes.
Itrigan the demon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they should. I think they should. No. Here's why. I think for Etrigan, they should go back in time to King Arthurian days.
So kind of like Black Knight and Marvel in a way.
And do that story. And do that story first. And then
bring him
to
the present.
Right. Yes. And then bring him to the present. We have to see that story first. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So what I think about
this book
is... You're
very passionate the way you said that.
I'm passionate tonight. I'm fired up.
I like the cover. It's a cool cover. I don't have the book in my collection. It's a cool cover to have. I didn't read much of the book, and you know, all in all,
toasty, right?
I'm gonna say I'm gonna go with
medium toast.
No, I'm gonna just be impartial. I don't know much about the character, but I'd like to read more into it.
Well, at least give it a light toast.
Can't do that. Oh. I can't fake the funk.
Okay. He's just looking at the bread, but he hasn't decided what to do with it.
Okay. I'm in no sandwich mood today, sir.
Oh, man.
I agree with Donald and Raphael that the book and the character are great.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't know about is the viability, because it's so questionable with the way people react to these kind of characters. You know, it's all about how
if the writing,
the concept is.
But Boston Brand's done humorously, which is what DC's always sorely lacked. And I think
if you have a good writer on it, hook. If you have a good writer on it, it can work.
It has. Yeah. There's a lot of things that can go right, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Well, yes, with anything, though.
Right. But it's just because it's DC, the margin of error is larger, right?
Right, yeah.
So if they pull it off, this book, if everything came together, this mm-hmm. is a great – this is a sleeper book that on the level of Guardians of the Galaxy character books mm-hmm. that just bump up because – and everybody starts liking it because it's a great character, mm-hmm. great concept. But that's all – its viability as a hot book mm-hmm. is dependent on how well they execute the
Name the last Guardian of the Galaxy character where their first appearance stayed hot.
Rocket's still pretty hot.
The next one we're about to talk about.
Right.
But that's let's not fool ourselves about that though.
Gamora? So what are you saying? Toasted or roasted? What are you going with?
Sounds like it's he's
lightly toasted, sir.
Lightly toasted. I want to say fully toasted, mm-hmm. but that's only because I believe in the character. I don't believe in the concept
as the viability issue. Well, I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to go medium toast. I think if this character is done correctly, written correctly, put in the right particular space and location at the right time within the right film or TV show, this can work out very well and become a very popular character. So I'm going to medium toast it.
Well, the real question this one is, though, Kevin, is
yes, sir.
When we say roasted or toasted, it's not on, I think it's not what it could be, is what is it right now?
Yes, that's true. That is true.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, I think we all have a little bit of a different definition. For me, it's that potential that's there.
Me too.
Which leads towards the excitement and leaving it in just a little bit longer. So I'm going to fully toast this one. I think I'm excited about it, and I think it's got some viability.
All right. Four different answers. I like that. Let us move on to number 9.
Which we've already done.
We've done before. Let's do it real briefly. Iron Man 55. I mean, everyone knows what this is. If you're in the collecting community, you're a fool if you don't know what this is. It's first Thanos. It's first Mentor. First Kronos. First Drax the Destroyer. First Eros or Star Fox, and first appearance of the Blood Brothers.
That's the big one for me.
That's the big one.
I mean, it's pretty close to being what you would say a semi-blue chip book. Right?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
So it's kind of hard to not, like I was going to say, toasted right off the bat because it's a book that I would love to have in my collection.
I thought you had one.
No, don't have one of these.
Sean, why don't you sell your copy to him?
But I'd like to have one of these.
I don't have one either.
Because it's a couple great characters, first appearance. It's a great looking cover. It's an Iron Man, older Iron Man book. So I think for me, it's toasted just because not of its potential, because these, you know, the first appearance have already happened.
That's right.
They've already been many shows. I just think it's a book to continue.
And Harry Styles will take the book to another level as he plays Star Fox.
Yeah, I don't think the book's going to drop that.
That
much.
Is my question about that book's liability now, because I would have thought that book after the Avengers movies came out,
mm-hmm.
that book kind of slowly died, mm-hmm. right? Because everybody was done with Thanos, mm-hmm. right? And the Drax thing wasn't really pushing it up as much as you thought it would.
But then Star Fox made an appearance at the end.
Well, it died because they killed Thanos, but they're also talking about the potential of bringing Thanos back. So right. Once you bring Thanos back,
the then but is it the a multiverse? Permanent back? Or
no, it's what I'm saying.
It'd just be a multiverse.
That's what makes the book kind of viable, because at any point, Thanos can come back. At any point, son of Thanos. There's a lot of things that can happen.
I mean, the number of characters. I personally don't think any. The only thing that really matters in that book is Drax and Thanos. All those other guys, including Star Fox. I don't think they're going to do much with Star Fox, or at least.
You're saying Harry Styles are wasting him then?
No. Oh. I'm saying that character is going to be a character that is only going to be in the minds of people when they're watching the movie, and then when the movie's over, nobody's going to be thinking about him too much until the next movie he's in.
Okay.
Could be.
Yeah. All right.
What's the next one on the list?
Next one, number 8. This one, I believe, is a very popular one, and this, of course, is Batman 655. This is the first cameo appearance of Son of the Demon. No, I'm just kidding. Damian Wayne, although...
Grandson of the Demon.
Although, interestingly enough, that the real first appearance that's been retconned would be that Batman... Son of the Demon.
Yeah. But let me tell you one thing. This book, mm-hmm. I'm going to do mine super quick. Burnt to a crisp.
Oh,
best
yes.
toasted you can have. Because
burn that toast.
I'm a huge, huge fan of the whole...
Damian Wayne?
Well, League of Shadows, Talia al Ghul. I'd love them to do a movie where it basically told more of a story of how Bruce and Talia had a child. I'd love him to go into that detail, dark.
That's right.
So the potential of this book becoming something big would
DC
be
Animation's
great.
Kind of already done that, but yes.
Live action. I want to see live action of, you know, Talia and Bruce getting together, having a child, and the child becoming Damien. I'd love to see that. But that's me. I'm really excited about the potential of what DC can hopefully be. And I'm pretty sure the guy to my right is also very excited about it.
Absolutely, because he's a big fan of Ra's al Ghul and Talia al Ghul. And I agree. This is definitely a very well-toasted book.
Oh, yeah. One of my first big boy books was Ra's al Ghul.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, from my understanding...
You want to show them off all week? Your big boy books?
No, I'm okay. I don't need to.
From my understanding and talking to some Gen Zers out there, young folks, they really like Damian Wayne. He's very popular. So I think this book could be potentially sustainable for the foreseeable future, especially if Damian Wayne is done properly live action. This could be a sustainable book that could hit the triple
digit figures. Would you want to see a movie solely on Damian Wayne without Bruce in it?
No. Don't do that yet.
You can do like a short film kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
No. But first, he has to be introduced with Batman, with this pop-up.
No, I'm saying is that they start off that way, and at some point, Damian becomes his own movie.
Yes, right? Eventually. But first, he has to be introduced with Papa, and then eventually you can have his own movie as he gains popularity.
This book, I feel, is the opposite of the Dead Man book. Okay. This one, I have 100%
viability
on, for one reason and one reason only. Gunn is a fan of Morrison's Batman run.
Mm-hmm.
He even, like, everybody was speculating on that book because he had the omnibuses, the Morrison omnibuses.
Here's the thing I could kick myself over. I went to the same shop for years as James Gunn. We bought probably the same comics. We just didn't go on the same times.
He's a cool guy. He's a cool
guy. I could kick myself for not figuring out, or at least trying to, like, be like, oh, well, what's on his pull list, you know? So I knew what he was. But I had no idea. You know, you had no idea at the time. But if I could travel back in time, I'd be like, what was on his pull list? What was
he reading? Then you'd be, like, speculating on a bunch of bullshit, too.
That's true.
Well, yeah, I would be. You're 100% correct, but most of that would be cheap.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
But the thing about Damian, and the thing that I think the reason why a lot of people, like me, myself, gravitate towards the character is because he had a full character turn. He starts out really awful and bratty, and then Morrison turns him into this lovable character that you find super endearing and that you feel sad about when he, you know, when something bad happens to him. And I think that is what is drawing the character. That is a character turn that Gunn is loving the idea of, turning this character you hate into this one that you love. And I think that is why he's going to try his hardest to make that the character. Maybe not like, you know, Spider-Man, but make him somebody that people want to see more of in movies or whatever, you know?
So I think we all could agree that this is a toasted book. A toasted book.
Yes. I'm a semi-toast it.
Okay, medium toast for you, sir.
Yeah, medium toast. I'm not as sure of the viability of the character. Yeah, I don't think... Having a bratty character, oftentimes it comes off pretty whiny.
It depends on how it's executed.
That's the thing. It's all about that turn.
Right.
You know, start out like that, and then you...
The maturation.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. You know, I'll semi-toast it for now, just to be safe.
Because some people were even going as far as thinking that this could be DC's Miles Morales.
No.
Some people even said that. No. I've heard that. No. Really?
What's next? Move on.
Number 7. A book that I would like to get my grubby paws on. Spider-Man Noir.
You should have asked me last week.
I know.
I sold the thing.
Too late now.
I didn't want to get my girl. I didn't want it. Like, I mean, it's a cool enough character. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, the Spider-Verse movie, you know, that was fun to see in this.
This is my favorite, my second favorite Spider-Man character. Spider-Man.
Really?
I prefer him
more so than Miguel O'Hara? Spider-Man 2099? Like him better than him?
I like him better than Miles Morales.
You like him better than Ben Reilly?
Yes.
Spider-Punk?
My thing is,
I actually like
it's Peter Parker.
Spider Ham?
It's Peter Parker.
Yes.
Number one. And then.
Peter Porker? You like him better?
Than Peter Parker? Not the person in the suit. I like the suit itself. I like the thought of the noir aspect of the thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I actually have this book, but every time I look at it, all I can ever hear is Nick Cage talking back to me.
Yeah.
So I can't say it's toasted because it's a book I already have, and it's a book that's getting hyped because of the movie that's coming out. I love the the nuance of the of that character.
Right? I like that word.
Is it getting a movie or a TV series? I don't know. Do we know?
He's in the Spider-Verse.
Right. Let's know if he's getting a separate thing.
Yeah, they're going to spin him off.
Separate thing, yeah.
They want to do this whole thing where it's where they're talking about doing a thing where it's animated at some points and then it becomes
live action.
Live action. And you know, like a 50-50 thing.
Interesting.
Dick Tracy.
Interesting.
Roger Rabbit.
Like a web series I've seen, the Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. I don't know if you guys know this, but I did a web series called the Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
Four it's seasons.
On YouTube, Rumble Spoon Productions.
Four Check seasons.
But we did do a hybrid of comic book strips, cartoons, and live action.
So maybe most likely maybe he would be animated, but everyone else would be live action. So like he would be helping fight crime, but he would be animated, but everyone else would be live action.
Like Toon World and Roger Rabbit.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna say lightly toasted because I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and so I
agree. Lightly toasted as well.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm all a little right. meh. On
We're
the
all character. In on
keep,
the light.
I mean, it's a cool character.
Keep the bread. Keep the bread white for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of white bread, what's next, Tara? It looks like another Peter Parker.
Yes, it is. It is Amazing Spider-Man number 14, and as we all know, the first appearance of the Green Goblin, Norman Osborn. Obviously, everyone and their mother would like to have.
Once
this
again,
book.
It's a blue chip book.
It's
right?
a blue yeah, chip book.
I think we're all going to toast it. Yeah. I mean there's viability. Obviously,
it's been proven.
He's got legs.
Proven time and time
the
again.
The only thing I want to say about this is when did it turn out? When did it change from Norman Osborn? Being Spider-Man's main nemesis to Doc Ock. Because I always, when I was growing up, I always thought Green Goblin was.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Huh. Not Doc Ock. Now it seems like Doc
Ock. I always thought it was Doc Ock when I was a kid.
No.
I think it's based off your who you prefer, your you know, or like
well,
what you got your hands on as a kid.
Oh, I got neither of those things, but
the originals, no.
So based on when I got into, when I started to watch Spider-Man, it was a Spider-Man TV show back in like what, late 70s, and he didn't have his nemesis were always just regular
street criminals.
So he would just fight street crime.
But what about in the early 80s with Spider-Man and his amazing friends?
Well, that's a cartoon, but I'm saying on live action, it was always just regular thugs.
Yeah, they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, they couldn't afford the effects.
Right.
But, and heck, the webbing looked like freaking Scotch tape.
Yeah, so they didn't really have the Doc, they might have had Doc Ock in there, but he wasn't Doc Ock. He was
as
just a doctor,
it.
You know, right. Mr. Octavius.
Mm-hmm.
Sean's probably right. I think the Green Goblin's probably a guy who hated Spider-Man more. And I think you would say he should be the one that's like his biggest villain.
Especially the deeper connection with the son.
But
Harry
I always thought later on in the years that Venom being his bigger nemesis.
I think Venom just became his nemesis. But I think from a point of view of somebody who kept coming back.
It's kind of like his Joker.
Yeah.
In a way.
I think because my main reason rationale is when I was reading Spider-Man on a regular basis, watching the cartoon, his everything he did carried over. So when he killed Gwen Stacy, right? That reverberated, you know. That was something that...
Whoa. You're using too big of words here.
What means people? Look,
we all know you don't know what that means.
No, a second. We trust our audience.
My dime store college degree, doesn't look, make me any better than you.
The sensational one has various college degrees. How dare you insult him?
But the point being is the way that Green Goblin's effect, you know, like how he menaced, how he tortured him, how he...
It was more psychological, for sure.
Yes. I thought that was...
Who was the first villain? Who was the first villain?
Doc
Spider-Man?
Doc Ock was his first villain, right?
No, the Chameleon.
Chameleon was the very first
villain. Well, technically, the Burglar.
The Burglar, yeah.
Well, but then the Chameleon,
yeah.
Doc Ock...
And the Vulture.
The Vulture.
Yeah.
So the Vulture...
The Lizard.
Yeah. So in terms of new people to the character... Vulture isn't a big deal because I mean people think of the
Vulture. No, Vulture is kind of... Vulture was never a big deal. It was just part of the gallery. It was always like the big guys were... I always thought the big guys were...
Green Goblin.
Dr. Octopus. Electro. The Sinister Six as a collective.
Electro. Yeah, Sinister Six as a collective.
Later on, Kingpin.
Kingpin, for sure.
Kingpin right now at the moment is probably my favorite of his villains.
He was the Lex Luthor,
mm-hmm.
and Norman Osborn was the
Joker.
Carnage of the group. You know, so take that. you know, as you will, but that makes sense to me.
Is Doc Ock kind of like the Mr. Freeze?
The Rhino. Rhino was just another heavy
kind of like. Mr. Freeze in a way? Doc Ock, you kind of make that kind of comparison?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was more of a father figure to that, so you'd have to look at a villain in Batman's world. Well, that was the other thing. Probably more of the Ra's al Ghul, strangely enough.
That was my other reasoning for Doc Ock not being surprised at Doc Ock, because all the other subsequent appearances of Doc Ock have been more or less, you know, goofy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he marries Aunt May.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not...
And he gets into Spider-Man's body.
Yeah.
Like, that was such great cheese.
But nothing as sinister as what Green Goblin and Norman Osborn was.
And then, the connection with his son, Harry, who would later become the Green Goblin himself.
And Gwen Stacy. We don't talk about that part, though.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. All right, what's the next one?
Next one is a BS one, I believe, and I think you would agree. The Century number one.
I got a...
Number five.
That book doesn't make any sense to me either.
I don't know if I can even say lightly to I can't. I don't think I can. I'm gonna roast it.
I'm gonna keep the bread white.
I'm gonna roast it.
There are people that are trying to make it a thing.
Well, they're saying that he's most likely gonna appear in the Thunderbolts movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's stupid because they already have a very high profile superhero right now that has a mental condition. Like that he's struggling with, and that is Moon Knight. That is, you know, our boy Moon Knight. And to throw Sentry in there, I get it in a way. Maybe they want two characters to highlight that, or maybe they're not going to highlight that point at all with Sentry. But there's other characters that they could use that have a better edge to them. Hyperion comes to mind. Hyperion is the perfect example of
Gladiator
of an edged hero.
Assuming they don't get all complicated with the multiverse about that.
Which they probably will.
Well, I don't know that they will. Mm-hmm. They might. I mean, it depends. I guess there's a lot of options on the table for them right now. And if they did do X-Men and they wanted to have X-Men in that world early or something, yeah, they could easily throw Gladiator into that mix instead. The point is that they have these high-profile big guns, so to speak. They have these Superman kind of wannabes that they've been trying to create year after year after year after year. And I think Sentry is one of the weakest of the bunch. So I would rather them go with somebody else like Hyperion.
It always felt like they finagled him into trying to be bigger than he actually was and more interesting than people cared to really be.
Yeah, know? You're not wrong. Yeah.
So keep your bread white. Do not throw it in the toaster.
I mean, even if they did Ares, which Sentry kills in one of the stories. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a better story, you know, having another god on the team, mm-hmm. so to speak, but the god of war, you know, that's fun. That leaves an aspect of danger. Is he doing this to protect somebody or is he trying to lead them into another battle because it feeds him? He craves it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting dynamic that I would love to see. So everybody basically just not toasting. It's we're roasting. Yeah.
Yes, we're keeping it far away from the toaster.
All right, what's the next one?
Next one, Uncanny X-Men 266, the second appearance and first cover appearance of Gambit. So glad they made that clear.
Well, it's funny part of it, that the key card are saying that, but if you look at CGC, it still says that 266 is the first appearance of...
Wrong. The full first appearance, I think.
Wrong. We all know the X-Men Annual 14.
You know, I looked at that Annual 14. I never saw him.
What?
Is he in costume?
No, that's because I ripped out the page from your...
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Man, what's your problem?
You don't
man?
Exist. I don't want Donald to know.
Oh, my goodness.
But this is another book. This is another book that he has... There's no news of him appearing anywhere else other than if they do mutants, he could be one they use. There's no...
He is a very popular mutant.
He is.
For a guy who's kind of a cliche.
He's very... Well, he's definitely not as popular as he was in the 90s.
More than me.
In the 90s, it was insane how popular.
But wait, X-Men 97 is coming. I think he might get popular again.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, Kevin. They're bringing that back. It's going to be on Disney+. Mm-hmm. It's coming out this year. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where they're
anticipating. You know the director that is, right?
Who?
Larry Houston.
That's right. That's right. We're at Comic-Con. I actually spoke to him. I took pictures with him. Yeah. He's a cool dude. And he talked about that. Yes, yes.
Did you? Well, you knew, but most people don't know on the feed or on the podcast that Larry Houston himself was an artist.
That's correct.
Before he became a director, an animation director or producer, he was actually an artist. When we were at Comic-Con, I went up to him and I said, hey, would you do a sketch card for me? He says, why would you want me to do a sketch card? And I said, why? Mr. Houston, I've heard you're a pretty good artist. And he's like, well, you know, I've dabbled a bit. And he did this one for me that was fucking awesome.
What did he draw for you?
He did a Wolverine.
Nice.
And it was really good. It was really good art. And someone saw it and said, who did that for you? Larry Houston. I didn't know he was an artist. Well, he was.
On the down low.
Mm-hmm. I think he was an artist for a long time before he got into, like, really got into animation.
Well, they all have to go to art school, right?
It was like what? Like Tim Burton.
Yeah.
You know, that's true. He did a lot of art. He worked uncredited, I think, on The Fox and the Hound, if I recall, for Disney. So he's done in other projects,
the I background. Think, as well. That'll explain background. All that weird shit in the middle of it.
Yeah, the stick figures dancing. I don't understand that part.
Yep. The Fox and the Hound suddenly turned into oblong shapes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What's this next one? I'm curious see. To see.
All right.
By the way, I think we're all kind of lightly toasting the last
yes,
one.
Yes, yeah? we're gonna lightly toast or to medium toast number well, number I mean, four.
That book is that's a highly desired book among anybody. It's an entry. It's almost entry level book for most collectors.
A gateway drug into the.
Yeah, if you're an X-Men fan, you want a Gambit.
That's and right. If you want a Gambit, you should want a Rogue.
Yes.
So they should come as a twofer.
Yeah.
But what number are we on?
We're going from number four to number three, and that is All Star Comics number 58, the first appearance of Power Girl.
Whew. Power Girl.
Power Girl, a Kryptonian cousin of Earth to Superman. Now, as we know, Power Girl has a very
roasted
distinctive look to her.
Instantly.
Some cases controversial.
She large breasts. There's a big hole cut out where yes. her boobies pop.
Yes, she has.
You just want to go.
Yes,
you know?
She does have protruding.
It's terrible to say.
Protruding.
Those are her superpowers, bro.
Those protruding breasts. Yes, they are very controversial. The way that are drawn by the male artists, and I know some women may take it offense to it. But that's the way
and that they tried to redesign it, and there's just no way around. Like, yes, that is part of her calling card.
And I'm curious, strange,
but true.
Why did the artist draw it that way? Why?
Because it's Wally Wood.
Wood.
Yeah.
So Mike Grell, the original artist. Annie
Fanny. So first Power Girl. Are we toasting or are we roasting?
I will lightly toast it for now.
I'm going to say roasted.
It's a weird book to me. I mean, it's a book that, like, I never understood the love that Power Girl got. Like, the concurrent book with that is the first... Huntress, right?
Yeah.
And so Huntress makes sense. She's part of the Bat family. She's an integrated character. I know they've tried to put her into the Superman family.
Yeah. She's like an alternate world's
cousin, I think.
Cousin or sister or some shit.
Yeah. I think now they made her cousin since there's no alternate.
Yeah.
But she never seemed like a character that had like huge personality.
Oh, you know? whoa.
She was the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Of the DC universe right. character, so to speak.
That said, Superman I mean, family. That blank slate leads a lot of room for a lot of improvement.
Yes. Yeah.
But not enough to be like...
Female Drax, everybody. There you go. I just fixed your problem, James Gunn. You're welcome. All right, so...
Number two.
More smug
number
two.
Let's go to number two, a book that I assisted Mr. Donald in... Pursuing a Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. You paid for most of it on my birthday, if I recall.
Yes. Going back to that great year of 2017. And that is Swamp Thing number one, the first appearance and origin of the second Swamp Thing. Alec Holland.
Yeah, first Alec Holland.
And also first cameo appearance of Anton Arcane.
I'm toasting the shit out of this.
Of course you are.
Toasting the shit out of this.
I've actually this believed is a hot book. This book I've actually thought was the better book.
Yeah, than the House of Secrets.
Right.
I got this one first before I got the House of Secrets
That's
because
right.
A, it was affordable.
That's right.
Comparatively speaking.
Back then.
And B, it's a super sneaky key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever you think of Swamp Thing, you don't think of just Swamp Thing. You think of Swamp Thing as Alec Holland.
That's right.
And if you think of Swamp Thing's number one villain.
Anton Arcane.
Arcane.
Also, the first cameo appearance of the Unmen.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And the Unmen were part of Arcane's dynamic plan to rule the world.
But which is the book? Might he have like smaller goals?
But which is the better book? House of Secrets 92 or
what's your definition of better?
Yeah, are you talking better story?
Cover? That's that one.
It's this one.
Really?
Yes.
Although then again,
I don't know.
Actually, I take that back.
I think I'm with you.
I take that
is
back.
This fucking guy drinking?
I think he is.
Yeah,
are you serious?
Technically speaking, number nine is the best cover.
No. I'm talking about What's a better cover?
House Secrets 92 or this one?
Or Swamp Thing number 1?
Yeah, House Secrets 92.
It's better. 92 is better, but not by much.
Benny Wrightson, you cannot disrespect Mr. Wrightson.
The girl on the cover and the colors of the cover. Yeah. I think number one. I think 92 is way better cover.
It's so iconic. How many people?
It's iconic.
I just got
in the mail an Archie Comics homage of that, it's Betty, and she's
combing her hair,
and in the background, I think it was Archie versus Predator, and there was a Predator.
Wow.
As Swamp Thing, basically.
Was the Predator so cool. Reggie?
No, but that's a good guess. No, it was an actual Predator from the series.
I mean, who's homaging this Swamp Thing number one? As nice as this cover is,
no one's homaging that. There's been a million House of Secret 92s.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think it's necessarily.
I think on this one, the great is cover. Roasted.
Yeah.
But
we all do agree roasted. That this is roasted, right?
Absolutely.
Or toasted, I mean, not
toasted. Toasted. Yeah. It deserves to spend some time in the toaster.
I mean, I would prefer it not be, so that way I can get one.
Yeah, you hypocrite.
That ship might have sailed if you don't hurry.
You hypocrite.
You better be really
lucky. I think you should sell one of your Shang-Chi. Sell one of your Shang-Chi.
We had a Swamp Thing number one in the shop not too long ago.
Yeah, I'm not paying that much money.
But it didn't suffer that much.
Do a trade.
I didn't think it was that high grade either.
Trade when you're.
I didn't like the way it looked.
Trade when you're first like Shang-Chi's. Kind of all
right, what's number one?
Number one, a book that.
Roasted!
That Donald has preached about for 6 years.
I'm toasting this so much.
For people to get their hands on is no other than Omega Men, number 3, the first appearance of Lobo.
That day.
And I know you bought 4 or 5 copies.
That day we found all those copies in that box in near mint. And they were $2 each. I said, Kevin, get some of these. And you went, why?
I got one.
I know.
But why did you have to ask
why? And I said, it's first Lobo. And you went, oh, brother.
Yes,
indeed. I'm starting to doubt whether he knows his comics at all.
Oh, well, he was young. Oh. He was young back then.
I was a puppy.
I was in my 30s. He was like 12
or something. I was a puppy.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He was looking for Archie Comics.
The Digest.
Richie Rich Comics.
He had the big ones.
Can I get the first Digest appearance of Archie and Reggie?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Mr. Gunn has teased an unannounced supporting character that people think is going to be Lobo. That's coming soon.
The character
Supergirl, that'd be great.
Yeah, the character is a great character when done right. It's Deadpool
or even Superman. You know, they should really. I've been saying this over and over. They need to put Superman in space.
They did a great dynamic with him and Lobo and Superman in the animated series.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because they would battle each other. And then they would basically team up or have a drink or something. And yeah, it was always something silly that would happen. It was a lot of fun. If you guys haven't seen Superman the Animated Series, I think it was what it was called, right? Superman highly recommend it. Superman the Animated Series came out after Batman the Animated Series from the same creative team.
Mm-hmm.
So highly recommend it. It's very good.
Tim Daly as Superman.
Yeah, the first two episodes of that run is basically the story of... His dad, Jor-El, and Krypton falling apart and him jettisoning his son. And then his son being a little older, like growing up and being older and the whole origin story told in like 40 minutes.
Right.
And it was fantastic.
And then he when he gets to Metropolis, he holds up the Ten Commandments and parts the waters.
No, I don't think that happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. They didn't follow through on the story then. He's Moses.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did he bring? Did the plagues come too?
I don't know.
Roasted.
We're gonna roast Sean on this one too.
Look it up, people.
Look, Superman is Jesus. Look it up.
No, he's Moses.
Oh, okay, he's Moses.
Wow,
he's Moses. All right, but anyway, roasting or toasting this one?
This needs to be at least medium toasted. I believe in the character. If done correctly, the Zarnian could become 100%. Very popular.
All I can tell you is,
especially if Jason Momoa plays him, I heard rumors.
It's going to be fantastic.
Surprisingly, still affordable book.
I was too broke to buy the bread, so I can't give you roast or toast.
Oh man,
the toaster broke.
What about you, Sean?
You can't even afford Wonder Bread.
Medium.
No.
You can't even afford Wonder Bread.
Fully toasting, guys.
It's such a thin line.
Donald is toasting the book because. He loves the character, not its viability.
No, it's smart. Hope. We just haven't talked about it.
It's his hope for the book to come.
I've been preaching for years because it's a smart character to use because he's so dynamic and so fun. It's something we don't see in Superman's world too often. Mm-hmm. It's almost always Lex Luthor, mm-hmm. or General Zod. There's all this mm-hmm. negative mm-hmm. bullshit, villain. You bring in Lobo, anti-hero. What? How does Superman respond to that?
Same.
He responds differently.
A little yawn.
Anyway, that's gonna pretty much do us in for today. Thank you for listening. We are the Real Short Box.
Please subscribe,
like, and comment.
Absolutely, do all of that. Love us, just love us.
And follow us. We need it. Instagram and social media. Love me, please, because Donald needs friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. He lives for the likes.
These guys hate me. No, but thank you guys for tuning in. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the exciting and current and always pleasing comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.